This morning I'd like to speak to you from the psalm of the day, verses 22 to 24, and from what follows on from it, 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And then from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, gracious calling that you have given us to be part of your spiritual house, to be living stones. So Lord, as we meditate upon this word this morning, so deepen our understanding of and our living out of this word. In your name and to your glory and praise we pray. Amen. In the seasons of the church today, we come to the first Sunday after Easter. Last Sunday was quite amazing. Nobody was more stunned than I was to see that we had 112 people here at worship. The singing was fantastic. The atmosphere was euphoric. People everywhere, lots of new faces at the communion rail. I was actually a bit nervous preaching, as we haven't had that many people here since before COVID era. But now today we're back to our usual number. We've got 67 here. In some churches, the choirs aren't singing, the trumpets aren't blowing, and like us, the numbers aren't also there. After the highs of Resurrection Sunday, the church in general comes to this what is traditionally called Low Sunday. While understandable that you can't stay up on the mountaintop forever, why the big plunge after an event that changed the history of the world, the destiny of humanity, and the future of creation in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? So today I plan that we have our Team HDK Sunday for us to look at the so what of the resurrection. How does this resurrection life continue in us? And in order to give us a meaningful theme on which to hang Team HDK Sunday, I chose from the Old Testament that psalm reading from the day and then what follows on from it in 1 Peter 2. And the theme for my sermon this day is living stones. Now, the psalmist says in Psalm 118, 22 and 23, The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Peter writes in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." There's no more important stone in the building of a building than the cornerstone or the capstone. The cornerstone has to be perfectly square and unusually strong. It had to be perfectly square because if it's not square, the walls of the building are liable to be wonky and to fall down. It had to be unusually strong because it bears the weight of the whole building. The capstone was also the first stone that was laid in the building of a building. In ancient times, this stone was actually laid according to the stars so that it could be perfectly laid. Now, because the cornerstone was so important, you can imagine the stonemasons and the builders of ancient times rummaging through the quarry until they found the perfect stone from which they could hone the cornerstone. There would have been many stones that would have been rejected by them until they found the perfect stone for the cornerstone. To the hearers of this psalm, the imagery of the capstone would have brought to mind the temple in Jerusalem. It is believed that the cornerstone of the second temple of Jerusalem, which was built around 500 years before the birth of Jesus, would have weighed about 80 tons. And that's quite a piece of rock, isn't it? Peter takes this imagery of the cornerstone and the temple to teach his mainly Jewish hearers truth about Christ and their relationship to him. This would have rung a bell for those hearers. As I shared with you a moment ago, Peter quotes that Psalm 118, verse 22, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." The scribes and Pharisees, chief priests and teachers of the law, the Jewish religious leaders, were looking for the Messiah. They were waiting for him and searching for him, like stonemasons and builders rummaged through the quarry looking for the perfect cornerstone. The type of cornerstone they were looking for, though, was large and powerful. They were only interested in strength, and the kind of strength that comes from power, control, wealth, security, and domination. They wanted a cornerstone that would uphold their long-held religious beliefs and their long-hoped-for expectation. And when Jesus presented himself as that very cornerstone, that very Messiah they should have been looking for, they did not recognize him. In fact, they launched one of the most hateful and manipulative propaganda campaigns possible against him and saw that Jesus Christ was crucified by the Romans. But God said no to their hatred, manipulation, trickery, and treachery. On the third day after his death, God raised Jesus from the dead. And as the psalmist says, "The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And as Peter writes in chapter 2, verse 4, "He is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God." Peter also quotes from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, that this cornerstone who has been chosen by God is a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. For the Jewish religious leaders who were looking for a different kind of cornerstone, a different kind of Messiah, the chosen one of God, who chose a cross over a palace, who chose to die rather than live in luxury, who chose to love rather than dominate, who chose to serve rather than be served. He is a stumbling rock, a rock that trips them up, makes them fall, and takes them out of having a part in God's plans. You trip up and you fall by not believing that Jesus is God's Messiah, the cornerstone of God's choosing and design for God's future building plans. But if you do believe that Jesus is God's Messiah and that he is the cornerstone of God's choosing and designs, you are able to be useful to God for his future building plans. What are God's future building plans? Well, let me explain it to you from the words of the Anglican theologian Bishop N.T. Wright from his commentary on Peter. He says, "For a first century Jew who knew the scriptures, the very word stone carried a double promise. First, the great hope of Israel was that the true God Yahweh would return to Zion, that's Jerusalem at last, coming back to live forever in the temple. Once, that is, it had been properly rebuilt so as to be a suitable resonance for him. Second, the word stone, which is eben in Hebrew, is very much like the word sun in Hebrew, which is ben. How does stone and sun join up? Well, in another biblical promise much quoted in Jesus' day, God promised David that his son would build the temple in Jerusalem, and that this son of David would actually be the son of God himself. Indeed, the way some people, including early Christians, were reading the chosen and precious cornerstone from Isaiah that Peter quotes in verse 7, it is no longer a physical stone itself, but a human being, the coming king upon whom God will build something quite new. And what is that something quite new? Well, it is the spiritual house with Christ as the cornerstone, the living stone with a capital L, and those who believe in him from any race as living stones with a lowercase L. God is no longer to live in a temple in Jerusalem, but in the spiritual house, which is made up of the living stones being built all over the world. For God wants to fill this whole world with his glory. He wants to fill it here with his glory at Kawana Waters. And this is why he has filled us with his very life, which comes to us from the resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday. You see, salvation is not just a promise to individuals to offer them individual hope, that is, that you go to heaven when you die. Salvation is actually a call to community. In this imagery, Peter invites us to see ourselves together, not as a random pile of rocks or stones strewn all over the place, but as stones belonging to a structure that is built on Christ. And it's a wonderful image that invites us to deep belonging. Its imagery invites us to see those stones as being young, old, brittle, strong, shiny, fractured, solid, large, small, differently shaped and orientated. There's room for everybody. Is there room for everyone in your imaginings of HDK as a spiritual house? Not only are there different kinds of stones in the spiritual house of HDK, but there are different kinds of stone. These different kinds of stones have different kinds of spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities. And it is as we use these different kinds of spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities that the resurrection life of Jesus is displayed in our midst, so that we can be church to one another and so that we can be church to the world. You see, being a living stone in the spiritual house of the church isn't about turning up at worship now and again, even having a nice cup of tea and then going home, so you can basically be assured that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven when you die. This actually reflects more the philosophy of Plato than the theology of the Bible. God has not called us here to HTK to live in Christ so that we will be absolutely certain that we will be a part of the in crowd in heaven when we die. We are here to change the world, to live the kingdom of God by the way that we live together before the world. If we glean from Peter what this means, we are from verse 5, a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And in verses 9 and 10, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. All of these titles were previously spoken of about ethnic Israel. Peter believed that all of God's promises to Israel had been fulfilled in the Messiah Jesus, and that therefore those who belong to Jesus had been brought into that people of God, the true spiritual house. This doesn't mean that the church has replaced Israel, but that the definition of the people of God has got wider. God's people together are sacred places and spaces, temples not made with hands. The church is not the building in which we meet, but the building we have become. And our role is to be a space where people can engage the presence of the living God and experience him in the way we worship and the way that we live and work together. You know, there's an important concept in living this risen Christ life that is often overlooked in these verses from Peter. It is that we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The concept that is often overlooked is sacrificially. Having the risen life of the living stone live in us means offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And this need not just be those spiritual practices of prayers, almsgiving, fasting, attending worship, and meditating. It also includes giving time, talents, spiritual gifts, abilities, material goods, serving. Things such as cooking a meal for someone else, fixing a car for them, mowing the grass and gardening, among many other things that we can do in practical service for others and for each other. This too is our spiritual sacrifice. It's often been said that when it comes to these things, the average Christian of the Western world would prefer to go to Saint Minimums. Minimum giving, minimum effort, minimum serving, minimum participation, minimum belonging, and minimum sacrifice. Now, there are some who, because of age, disability, health issues, or shift work, cannot serve much. But however we do serve, we serve keeping to the foremost of our hearts that Christ has given us his love and life. We once were not a people, but now we are a people. We once had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. The truth and guarantee of that is that Christ has risen from the dead. So at the end of the service, as we do every year, You're going to be invited to give sacrificially to God of your time and talents and spiritual gifts and abilities by indicating the areas of mission and ministry at HDK that you would like to serve in. You're invited to sign one or more of the stones on the table at the rear of the church so that we may be effective in living together as a spiritual house in Christ and before the world. So that, as Peter writes, we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Ours is the task of directing people's attention towards the God who died and rose again for us. He is the God who loves us and whose steadfast love endures forever, and his mercy never ceases. He is the one at work in through his resurrected life to make our lives new and to make all things new. He alone is our hope and our salvation. So by the way we live together in community, let us join with the psalmist of Psalm 118 in declaring, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. And let us indeed be living stones enlivened by the living stone. Amen. So, Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for your gracious call to us, that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And you have made us part of your building, the spiritual house of the church, throughout the world and especially here at Kawana Waters. We pray, Lord, that your resurrection life will indeed enliven us in our service to give sacrificially to you of our time, talent, spiritual gifts and energies, so that indeed, Lord, we may be the people of God you want us to be, and that we may be lively in our ministry to each other and expansive in our mission to the world. In your precious name we pray. Amen.